Texas holds runoff elections today, and there are primaries in three states, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Georgia. The Georgia gubernatorial race is getting a lot of attention. In the Democratic primary, two women, one black, one white, are running against each other as progressives. In the crowded Republican primary, candidates are competing for who can be the most conservative. Joining us from Atlanta is Bill Nygut, host of Georgia Public Broadcasting's Political Rewind. Hi, Bill.
Happy Election Day from Georgia, Jeremy.
It seems like it's always Election Day these days.
Yeah,
but
right.
Let's start with the Democratic gubernatorial primary. This is being known as the Battle of the Stacys. We've got Stacey Evans and Stacey Abrams. Both grew up poor. Both are progressives. Both former state lawmakers. Abrams is African-American, and if she becomes governor, she'd be the first black female governor ever of any state. Here she is on WSB-TV in a debate yesterday. She gave her closing pitch to voters.
Elections are about choices, and we have a choice that's very clear in this campaign. The question of who has the proven leadership, the experience, and the judgment to become the next governor of Georgia. I know that we don't lead single-issue lives, and we can't run single-issue campaigns.
So Abrams has been leading in polls. Why?
Well, first of all, she has gathered so much national attention because of what you just said. She could become the first African-American female governor in the country's history. And as a result of that, she's had Cory Booker in here campaigning on her behalf. Kamala Harris has been here. Yesterday, Hillary Clinton endorsed her. Bernie Sanders has endorsed her. So she's getting an enormous amount of attention as she seeks to build a new voting base of almost of African-American voters, with some white voters in the mix. But she's really focusing on African-Americans, which would be something very new in Georgia if she succeeds.
And Stacey Evans is not doing that quite as much. She says you can't win in Georgia without voters from the other side. Here she is on WSB giving her closing pitch.
I will be a governor that fights tirelessly to open up the doors of opportunity to more, whether that is restoring tuition-free technical college, expanding Medicaid, raising minimum wage, or making our public education system one that will ensure that every child gets the education they deserve.
Now, we describe both of these women as progressives. What does this tell you? Is this a question of competing visions for Democrats in 2018?
Well, what's interesting about Stacey Evans is she is trying to re-energize what we down here call the Yellow Dog Democrat Coalition, which means we'll vote for a dog as long as he's a Democrat. She's looking at attracting white suburban women, bringing back white rural voters.
People who may have voted for Trump.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So in some ways, she's looking to the same kind of coalition that a Doug Jones was able to pull together to win in Alabama, because she, too, will look to win some of the African-American vote. But there's a very strong competing vision of how to win this race. Do you go for the old Yellow Dog Democrats? Or do you go for the new voters and primarily African-American voters?
What about on the Republican side? It's a crowded field of five. Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle got into some trouble. We remember when he threatened to eliminate a tax break for Delta Airlines, which is based in Atlanta, after Delta ended its relationship with the National Rifle Association. How has that played into this race?
It played in for a while, but Cagle has done a pretty good job of overcoming the problems he got into with some in the business community. You know, he's been lieutenant governor for a long time here, and so has always had strong ties to corporate Georgia. And yes, there were some business leaders who pulled away from him for a while. But while the other candidates are going so far to the right, Cagle has tried to run a campaign based on economic development, on sound issues and policies. And I think that's brought a lot of the business people back into the fold for him. He is almost certain to come in first tomorrow, but it's going to be hard for him to get to 50% plus one and avoid a runoff.
And by the way, when you say the other candidates are running far to the right, here's an example. The Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, has been running ads showing him holding a shotgun, a chainsaw, and driving a pickup truck that he says might come in handy to round up criminal illegals.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting about that spot. So many people found it offensive. And I will tell you that Brian Kemp loves the controversy that he stirred up with that two commercials back to back, really. He believes, and he may very well be right, that the commotion around those commercials are going to be what propels him into second place and puts him in a runoff. The real question is, how will that linger for any Republican who emerges from the runoff and tries to win in the general?
Now, there are two congressional races we're keeping an eye on, including one that we were following pretty closely not too long ago, where Democrat Joel Ossoff lost in a special election to Karen Handel. So we'll watch that. But just in the 30 seconds we have left, is Georgia still a strongly red state, or what do these primaries tell you?
I think it's still a strongly red state. I think it is still going to be difficult for a Democrat, Abrams or Evans, to win the governor's mansion in the fall. I also think that while the incumbent Republicans in that 6th and 7th and the 7th district, another district where there's a vulnerable incumbent, right, I still think they're likely to pull it out. I think it's possible that we're waiting for 2020 when the demographics continue to change, right, before Democrats make real inroads.
That's Bill Nygut at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thank you.
Thanks.